This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, and good morning. Welcome into another Thursday edition of The Blitz live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, AM 1340 on your dial. As always, up over at fanrunradio.com. Click that live link at the top, powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We also have the Periscope up and running. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to follow along there with us, follow our smiling faces. We also do have the Fan Run Radio app, wherever apps are sold for you in app stores. You can go ahead and get that today in stores. Keep up with all the 12 hours of programming here at Fan Run Radio right in the palm of your hands on the go. Hey, and as always, we are in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier will be on his way. GP3 with you for the next couple of hours. Man, happy Thursday. Victory Thursday. Victory Thursday as the Basketball Vols did win a tough one. It was a tough one.
And it was a close fight.
It was definitely a dog fight. And that's something I said yesterday. I said they got to muck it up a little bit. It's going to be a tough fight, but they did prevail, and Tennessee basketball rolls on. And, hey, that's 7 out of 8 versus the Florida Gators, and that is undefeated in the state of Tennessee, undefeated at Thompson Bowling Arena still. GP3, how are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing a lot better than I would have been if we would have lost, because that was not a team you could afford a loss to right now.
So. That was a tough game too, man. Like what we were just saying. Very ugly game, tough game there at the end that we didn't know was going to be as tough, but, hey, they prevailed.
Yeah, I mean, they got it done. They mucked it
and
up a little bit.
That's what matters.
It was a very physical game. You saw the tempers rising throughout.
Yeah, that happened after the game, too. We'll talk about that later.
Man, Florida came out. They were hot.
They were. I mean, Tennessee was down 12 points at some points of that game.
Yeah. And we had that stretch, like we always go through, where I don't even think they got a shot up. Like, it was like a five-minute stretch where they just kept turning the ball over. No yep. shots. I mean, I think we took one shot that might have gotten blocked. I don't know.
I had a friend before the game yesterday. They were like, well, what do you think about the game? You know, we always talk about the game every day generally. And I was like, you know, it's not that I'm worried that Tennessee is not the better team. I said I'm more worried that whoever Tennessee plays, and this can be a good thing sometimes, whoever they play, they either play up to their opponent or they play down to their opponent.
Yeah.
It does not matter. I mean, but that's a good thing when you're playing top key marquee matchups and you're playing a opponent that's better than you. Well, you play up to your competition. That's good. But a lot of times when Tennessee's playing an inferior opponent, they also play down to their opponent. So that's the one thing that I was worried about, and as we saw, it was something to be worried about.
Yeah. Now, I do think it's very possible that maybe Tennessee was overlooking this game. You know, they got the big matchup with Texas this weekend. So I figured, you know, that might be something that was weighing on their minds, worrying about the trip to Texas, because this was Florida's third game in 5 days. You were 10-point favorites. This wasn't a game I don't think anybody expected to be close. It was a game you were expected to go out there and just handle and move on. But as we see when these two teams get together, man, it's always a fight. There's just something about the orange and the blue when they step foot on the same court.
What do they say? Throw out the record books. Throw out their record books when Tennessee and Florida get together. So we will break all that down as we get into the show. Today also full menu, very much full menu. Today we will talk a little bit more about the NFL playoffs this weekend. We have the conference championships. We have the Rams versus why did I go blank right there?
Rams versus the 49ers.
Yeah, Rams versus the 49ers and the Chiefs versus the Bengals. So we will get into AFC and NFC conference championships. We'll break all that down. We'll give you our predictions, you know, kind of going into the weekend. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, but we'll also get into it today, talk about the matchups, quarterback matchups, everything that we're expecting from the weekend. We also got some other headlines to get into. I got a little Tennessee news, so we'll jump into that. Yesterday, we were supposed to get into some Tennessee baseball news. We will talk about that today. Don't worry, I did not forget. We didn't approach it yesterday, so we will get into that today. But yeah, very much today, full menu, lots of sports to get into. Like I say, we're so thankful to come in here. That's one thing you guys don't understand sometimes. It's a lot easier to come in here after Tennessee basketball win. We can all be in a good mood. Me, myself, I mean, Charlie, GP3, no qualms in here. So we all get in a good mood and we can actually break down the game and enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have been able to take it if we would have lost and Charlie come in here trying to spin it some positive take.
He's a very positive guy. He is.
He is. I give him credit for that.
He's positive Peter. He's positive Peter.
I mean, I was positive too when I was 22, though.
Yeah,
give
exactly.
Him 5 more years.
Give him a couple more years. That's when it all settles in. So we'll get all into that. But for right now, we're going to take a quick timeout. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. That's the number to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines. Like I said, we're live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hopefully you cheered on the Big Orange last night with some White Claw. Now crafted with a blend of seltzer water and a hint of fruit flavor. Just 1 gram of sugar, 100 calories. Still 5% alcohol, so you can still pack a punch, but you can avoid the beer belly bloat. And at the same time, now available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. So hopefully you cheered on the Big Orange last night, or you'll cheer on your favorite team this weekend with a little bit of White Claw Hard Seltzer. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and get into it all. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. Is all here. Shout out to Charlie for, you know, he had a little hiccup. He was worried about his cat this morning.
I forgot to feed him.
It happens.
I won't be home again until like 10 or 11 tonight. So.
I know. You're the Iron Man of radio around here. I'm gonna have to talk to, you know, John Reed. You're working Charlie too hard. We don't
can't
ask,
give us his full attention.
We don't ask that much of Charlie. You're taking Charlie away from me. You're taking all of his attention, John Reed. I've been down this road before. That same thing happened with Rick.
Yeah, but he didn't do both.
He didn't do both.
He just left.
He just left and started doing the drive. Love you, Rick. Love you, Rick.
Yeah, that was back when I was interning.
Yeah, he just left and did the drive. I was like, okay.
He said, yeah, that's a lot.
I'm just, okay, cool.
I got other stuff to do.
Love you, Rick. I was like, okay, cool, I guess. Thanks, Russ. I blame Russell still. But outside of that, Charlie, how are you doing, man?
Good.
You feeling good? You didn't get to go to the game yesterday, though, but I'm sure you watched it.
Yeah. Honestly, it kind of worked out. Had a good shift last night. Got to
watch
it the best I could at Sunspot. At work.
That's fine. Oops. Charlie works at Sunspot.
My bad.
It's okay.
My bad.
Slip up and give a little tea. It's okay. You work there. It's fine. That's your job.
At work, I was trying to watch it the best I could. And then I tried to watch a recording of it when I got home, but it was like 12:30, and I just fell asleep.
Yeah, I have to catch like my recordings of the game because I also work a late-night job. I'll just catch it like 2 days later from now. I'll go back and watch it YouTube and see how well they played. But, yeah, I got to watch it when I could last night. What we were talking about is very much a resilient win.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's kind of what we talked about. You know, there's a huge three-point variance with Florida. I mean, there are nights that they shoot the three really well. There's nights that they don't. You know, I didn't think the defense was bad against a three-pointer necessarily. Florida just got hot to start, and then they cooled back down. But because of that hot start, you know, you weren't going to win the way you thought you would. You just had to grind it out, and you had a really good offensive game, I thought, at least, minus the turnovers. You probably turned the ball over way more than you should have, but 16 turnovers doesn't look terrible on paper. And, you know, you shot a pretty high percentage from both, you know, the three-point line and just from the field in general. You know, really is just cut out those turnovers and...
Yeah, you're looking pretty good.
You're looking a lot better, especially, again, if Florida doesn't start shooting the ball, you know, as well as they did. Also, got to be pretty happy, 17 of 18 from the free throw line. That mm-hmm. made me a very, very happy man.
Did you see who recorded the only miss?
Was it Kennedy Chandler?
No, it was Victor Bailey on the front end of a one and one.
That's disappointing. I really like Victor Bailey. It's a shame that he just is in the slump that he's in because he's an easy guy to root for, I feel like.
Yeah, me too. I feel bad for the guy.
I do too.
I do too.
I want him to be good. Like, I want him to be a guy that,
that the fans
can rally around.
That is the worst part about this team is that when they fail, it's so hard to be mad at them. Because instead, you just feel bad for them. Because generally, I mean, it's just a bunch of really likable people.
Yeah.
Riddle me this, though, or explain this to me, please. Uroš playing 9 minutes
So
without really recording anything statistically. I know that I said yesterday it probably wasn't a game that he matches up in that well, just because, you know, you're going to need a lot of pick and roll against their man defense. And then, you know, DeRuji is a little bit maybe too athletic for him. Is that
what
happened?
No. Nothing official, but the way I took it, he was playing extremely physical early on. He got the start.
I saw he got the technical, right?
He got – it looked like – it wasn't really on TV, but it looked like he got scored on and then, like, got in the guy's face because he kind of gave him a shove or whatever. So nothing came of that. And then, like, 2 minutes later on the other side of the floor, he gave the guy a push, like, kind of shoved him and got the technical. And I think Rick just pulled him. I was like, yeah, this – I think he was still harboring feelings from last year against Florida – and was going to, you know, take him out on somebody. So I think Rick just pulled him because he didn't want anything to escalate.
I mean, it definitely got chippy. I love when it gets chippy. The videos of Tennessee waving the Florida players off the floor and
chomping them off
them
the floor.
The
yeah, Kenny Chandler hitting them with the chomp.
I did think it was funny, though, that the story came out saying that the whole confrontation started because somebody made a joke about Zakai Ziegler being short.
Yep.
And then on the picture, Zakai Ziegler standing on a chair so that way they can see him as he's giving him the chomp.
That
he is a short guy.
I thought it was kind of funny.
5'7".
5'9". Okay.
Hey, but he recorded a block last
Listed 5'9".
He recorded a block last night. That's pretty tough for somebody of his size.
Nah, the video of us gator chomping on their own floor.
We always gator chomp them.
The video of us gator chomping them last night and waving them off of our own floor. Like,
I'll tell you,
those are some of the kind of videos where, you know, if I could just get a tattoo of a QR code that you scan and it plays a video, like, those would be up there.
You want an NFT of that?
No, I don't do NFTs. I don't believe in them.
You don't believe they exist?
I just don't believe in them.
I'm not saying for money. You're like, hey, I want this. And I'm like, you want an NFT of it.
It sounds like you want an NFT. It's kind of like something.
Yeah, when you say I want a highlight of it and you want to just have that for the rest of your life, NFT.
No, I meant like you tattoo a QR code to your body that you scan and it plays the video.
Well, that's just weird.
I don't believe in those.
I don't believe in tattoos, well, the QR codes.
But
it's like putting a barcode on your neck.
I was going to say, going back to them chomping last night, Adam, I thought it was really cool to see Kennedy Chandler get in on the action because it's felt like a lot of the time while he's been here, he's just kind of been biding his time.
Very mild-mannered, quiet.
Yeah, just kind of like...
Not outspoken, but he's a leader on the team.
Yeah.
It's like good to see him show a little swag, a little confidence in that moment.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool to see.
I love it. I
like the direction we're heading. And, you know, there's still a lot of things to iron out with this team. Obviously, they are far from a perfect product, nor do I think they will even, you know, ever really approach that at this point. But the fact
they
of
are
the matter
what we
is,
what we thought they are.
The fact of the matter is, they are in position now at 14-5, at 5-3 in the SEC, having already gone to Kentucky, having already gone to Baton Rouge, having already gone to Tuscaloosa, not playing Auburn at or on the road. And, you know, already having really played most the meat of their schedule for the most part. They're in a position now to string wins together and to really, you know, compete for that second spot in the SEC. the number two spot. Obviously, I don't think Auburn is going to lose three games.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, at most, I think they lose three games, and that would mean, you know, that one of them would have to be to you, and you would have to win out. So, you know, I'm not really thinking that we're in the chase for number one, but you know,
does Kentucky play Auburn twice? I know they've already played them once. And lost.
Yeah, I think they don't. Don't quote me on that until I finish looking here. They do not play Auburn again.
Another thing noted in that game, this is Tennessee's seventh win out of the last eight games versus the Florida Gators in basketball. Also, another game where no team scored 80 points.
Yeah. We if they would have fouled us there in that very last possession,
we'd have got it.
We would have gotten it.
Would have got it. Yeah, 78-71 is the final score here in Thompson Bowling Arena and Assembly Center. Hey, like I said, got a little heated late. Vols exit with a little gator chomp taunt. What, we love it. And it's like one of those things, we've been doing that to them for a while, ever since Grant Admiral were doing it and they got pissed off. Like, that's, we've been doing
where
it
that
strong.
Staffer like tried to push Grant out of the way. And
so I love it. And on the other side, let's go ahead and talk about some of the guys who excelled in the game last night. Huge game from Santiago Vescovi. He came out hot from the start, and he's shaping up to be Tennessee's most lethal scorer, if you guys noticed that. Also, on the other side, we got some big breaking news, and I mean big. We'll talk about it on the other side. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP3 with you. We got some breaking news. Let's go ahead and go over to the breaking news Fan Run Radio desk. GP3, play the short breaking news sounder, and we'll give the people what they want. Well, as one of my former counterparts in the afternoon would say, it's a final! After 18 seasons in the National Football League, Benjamin Roethlisberger has decided to hang up the cleats. He's retiring after 18 seasons. He will not be entering the free agency portal and finding a new team. Big Ben Roethlisberger will retire a Steeler. He will retire in the black and gold forever. Big Ben announced his retirement today after 18 seasons. Much speculation around the situation. For a while, we knew probably coming into this season, he had alluded to it last year, this will be his final season. A lot of people didn't think he'd play last year. Some people didn't think he'd come back for this year. But after an 18-year career, honestly, one of the greatest players in Steelers history, Ben Roethlisberger made the announcement via a video message, which I do have right here.
He looks rough.
Oh, that's not it.
He looks rough.
With the 11th pick in the 2004.
He announced his retirement via Twitter, BigBen7.com.
Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback, University of Miami.
I don't know how to put into words what the game of football has meant to me and what a blessing it has been. While I know with confidence I have given my all to the game, I am overwhelmed with gratitude for all it has given me. A boy from Findlay, Ohio with NFL dreams, developed in Oxford at Miami University, blessed with the honor of 18 seasons as a Pittsburgh Steeler and a place to call home. The journey has been exhilarating, defined by relationships and fueled by a spirit of competition. Yet the time has come to clean out my locker, hang up my cleats.
Oh, he's cleaning out the locker in the video, too.
I'm seeing this video.
You watch it, yeah.
I'm watching it in real time.
I retire from football.
He's got his kids there with his wife.
First and foremost, I need to thank the Lord for all the many blessings he has bestowed on me.
And that you didn't go to jail.
To my wife, Ashley, our children, Benjamin, Bailey, and Bodie. You
lift and
inspire
me and
give my life purpose.
Those are terrible names.
I am so thankful for your love and support. I love you so much. To my parents and sister, every step of the way, Your support and love has driven me to be the best and never give up.
The last thing is him
to the Rooney family,
peeling
the Tall
B. Dot Roethlisberger
off the locker,
Coach Cowher, and all of the coaches who supported
some very old lockers in
the incredible
Pittsburgh.
People on every level.
Those are some old lockers. By the way, those are
you think these are just cinematic?
And allowing me,
I don't know, but I'm like, they have some very old wooden style lockers,
old wood lockers with like.
I appreciate you.
Still just velcroed on name tags.
Wearing the black and gold with pride and dignity. Putting that jersey on every Sunday with my brothers will always be one of the greatest joys
of my life. The
first
reply to this is just Baker Mayfield realizing
the best fans
in
all of sport.
In the division now.
Thank you for accepting and supporting me as your quarterback over the years. Football has been a
I feel
gift,
like he's just saying
and I thank
the same
God
thing
for allowing
over
me
and over
to
again
play.
Right now.
Oh yeah.
Surrounding me with great people.
We're into it now. There's only 12 seconds left.
With love and honor.
This has been the worst 2 minutes and 16 seconds of my life.
And like Charlie said, these are some old school lockers, like old wooden lockers. We know, like, I've seen college locker rooms, like, the iPads above them, the TV screens above them. These are some old, like, old school lockers. I don't know if they're just going for that vintage look in Pittsburgh.
It looks
what?
Like the away lockers at a high school football
stadium. Yes, when you walk in, you're like, oh, here we go again, the bad locker rooms. But Big Ben calls it quits.
Yeah,
Steelers Nation, hey, black and gold.
It's Josh Dobbs' turn to, or time to shine now.
It is. Yeah. It is. What do they do? They probably go to a new quarterback
Mason Rudolph.
They give him a shot.
You got to draft
him. It won't, as much as we would like for it to be Josh Dobbs, it won't.
No.
Even though he's putting his time there. I mean, he definitely has.
He's probably a really good backup because he's so smart and everything. Like
they traded him, brought him back.
He probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a career journeyman like that. But.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? I wouldn't be mad if I'm a career journeyman just holding a clipboard and getting about
I might go work for NASA.
$3 to $4 million a year. I mean, can he make more than being a backup quarterback? Probably, but that's a lot more work at NASA.
He can also do that when he's not, like, young.
I feel like you run out of
but
your
there's
NASA
a lot,
years.
That's a lot more work at NASA. Like, a lot more expectations, it's a more critical job. He can't have any mistakes. He actually will be doing a lot of work. And NFL's a backup quarterback. He's just really holding a clipboard, doing some practice team scout stuff. And, hey, his week is done. You know, like, unless somebody gets hurt, week is done.
Yeah, I mean,
week.
They'll be aggressive targeting one of, you know, the veterans that are out there for potential trade. And, you know, I imagine they draft a guy like a Kenny Pickett, like a Matt Corral.
That would be perfect, Pittsburgh.
I think Matt Corral would honestly be the ideal fit for them. Man, I can't get over that video. That was just...
It was bad.
Good riddance, scumbag. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
One of the bigger trending topics on Twitter is big rape.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind
of... Instead of Big Ben, big rape is what one of the trending topics
is. It was kind
of
disgusting, honestly, to me, the way that we celebrated him like he was this national hero, like we just forgot about, you know, his shady,
more breaking
past.
News coming in, GP3. Play the long one. More breaking news
from
the Shield. And this one's not going to make me happy. According to Adam Schefter, NFL insider for ESPN, the Denver Broncos are hiring Packers offensive coordinator.
I saw the rumors about this.
Nathaniel Hackett as the new head coach.
What a joke.
In Denver.
Is it a terrible hire, though? Because they're probably doing this in the hopes of getting Aaron Rodgers to follow.
Yes.
You think he's going to want to like follow either of those coaches, though? Like, I feel like he's never liked a coach in his life.
I don't know. I mean.
I don't know. That makes that worse. That's immediately what I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, the OC goes to Denver. That ain't good for the Packers if Aaron Rodgers tries to get a deal to Denver. If he does like that offensive coordinator, he might follow him. That's what I thought immediately.
In a group message I'm in. With several Broncos fans, both of them are texting explicitives right now, very upset.
I would tell them to go out and look at the tape. Nathaniel Hackett is a big energy guy. He's not going to be like Vic Fangio. He's not an old school guy. He's going to be, you know, he's an up-and-comer. He's going to bring a lot of energy to that organization. He has a lot of passion. I think that if I was a Denver Broncos fan, I'd be kind of excited. That's just me, though. But that might be for people who don't know that much about this guy. They might be worried. I think that's a solid move by them. you don't go out and you don't get too big of a name to where it's a lot of expectations. You go out and get the up-and-coming younger guy, and your fans are able to give him 3-4 years because he's an up-and-comer younger coach before they really start, you know, taking to the streets with the pitchforks because he's not getting it done. I think that's huge. I think it's a huge hire. And immediately I thought about, what if Aaron Rodgers wants to go to Denver now? They've been talking about that. We've said those are some of the top destinations for Rodgers. Teams that have a legitimate shot that are contenders, a team with a great defense. What are they away? One quarterback away.
That division would instantly become the hardest division in all of football.
I'm not saying he'll go there.
I just feel like that would be what holds him back. Like, first of all, just the AFC in general, I don't think he would want to go to the AFC to compete against, you know, all the talented quarterbacks there. But then specifically
the AFC West.
The AFC West, where you have Mahomes, very tough. Herbert, a Raiders team that just made the playoffs.
Nah.
I don't know if he'd want to do that. Especially with how he's, you know, been accustomed to the NFC North and their struggles lately.
If Tom Brady retires, which might look like he is leaning that direction, the Saints might be a spot that he looks at.
Well, they don't have any cap room. They're like negative $70 million in cap. And I know what they say. In the NFL, cap doesn't truly exist. But when you get to negative $70 million, it starts to kind of exist.
Old Taysom Hill.
No. Absolutely. So there's big news from the Shield. Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett for the Green Bay Packers is now becoming the head coach for the Denver Broncos. And as well, Big Ben Roethlisberger out of the NFL after 18 seasons. He retires today from football. 865-546-8200. That's our number if you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. If your loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law office of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve. At G3, you matter most. So visit g3helpme.com or call them up at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Again, g3helpme.com. Quick timeout. Come back and wrap up hour number one on the other side. Keep locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. That's very true, Charlie. That's very true. Hey, welcome back to the Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. A little throwback there. I love that song every time you play GP3. We're talking a little Shield action on the other side. We'll wrap up hour number one here. Talk a little bit about the basketball game from last night. Tennessee winning a big game versus Florida, keeping you alive in conference play. Another win in SEC conference play. Great. Which sets up, and even you get the big win last night. You got a big game on Saturday. And you have the return. The return of Deacon Barnes to Austin, Texas.
I think they're going to give him like an ovation.
They're going to give him an ovation. They're going to do the whole spiel. It's going to be a walk down memory lane. They're going to do the tribute on the Jumbotron. Because how many years has it been now? It's been since what, 2014 is when he came here?
Yeah.
So,
14 or 15.
So we're talking about he's been gone for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So almost 10 years, and he is one of their most successful coaches in their basketball history, if not their most successful coach. So he hasn't been back there since. This is the first time returning to Austin. So, yeah, I think they're going to do the whole hoopla, and it's probably going to be like one of those things where Chris Beard, you know, goes out while the video is going on, shakes his hand, and, like, you know, they congratulate him for all his time at Texas. And truthfully, it's the right thing to do, right?
Yeah. Probably.
It's the right thing to do. Here's a coach, your most winningest coach in your history of basketball, and he hasn't been back in 10 years. Now, I don't know how much he's traveled there on his own time, but he hasn't been back to play or coach the game of basketball in almost 10 years. So I think that they do the whole tribute and do all of it.
You think Rick has any hard feelings?
Hmm.
Like, I know that Texas obviously doesn't. They fired him. But
yeah.
I wonder if, you know, Rick Barnes maybe.
It'd be hard not to, right? Like, you spent a majority of your life there, all your life there, coaching for them, and then they just decide to get rid of you just because kind of like you're getting too old, and they didn't feel like you were doing enough in the postseason. But they haven't had much success since he's left.
No.
You know,
they were a 3 seed last year, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas,
though, like, we've been like, hey, we want some of that success that you were having there at Texas. They haven't reached any of those heights again. You know, they've been what they have been. They had Shaka Smart for a while. Now they'll have Chris Beard. It's not like he can honestly say they didn't necessarily get better after he left. They did not. You know, they've actually just been, you know, kind of the same mediocre team since he's left. So I could see him having a little bit of animosity, but Rick Barnes doesn't seem like he's that guy. He just really doesn't. It seems like he's grounded in his faith. It seems like he's a guy that's just like, you know, here's where I am now. And Tennessee is shaping up to be, you know, it won't ever be Texas. He'll probably retire as a Texas coach, but he's been here for a while now too. And so he has a lot of time vested here. So I don't think he should be mad.
I mean, it also could just be one of those things where he gets it as much as Texas does, yeah, that things had reached an eventual win there.
Absolutely. It was time for both parties to get a fresh start and something new in their life.
That would have been a really fun game to go to. I wish I could have found a way to get to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, that would have been a good game. I agree with you. I bet you that's a good atmosphere, too.
No, I'm really excited.
No, I'm
very, very excited to watch.
Texas is not ranked, though, right now.
No, they fell out last week. They've been a really pretty up-and-down team. But then TCU is pretty hot currently.
Yeah.
And, you know, Texas did blow them out earlier this week. When you look at Texas, I mean, there's not a lot to love, and there's definitely not a lot to dislike either. You know, a 15-5 team that didn't really play the toughest non-conference schedule. You know, they played Seton Hall, and they played Gonzaga. But outside of that, I mean, they were playing a bunch of, like, sub-200 teams in the non-conference schedule, which is kind of weird. In Chris Beard's first year, that they didn't challenge themselves a little bit more. I mean, it's Incarnate Word and Alabama State and Arkansas Pine Bluff and UT Rio Grande and Houston Baptist, Northern Colorado, Cal Baptist. Like, they really didn't play them a whole lot. And, you know, the two games they did, Gonzaga and Seton Hall, they lost both of those. And then since they've entered Big 12 play, it's been the same up and down. You know, they lose to Oklahoma State by 13, turn around and beat Oklahoma by 14, and then, you know, get upset by Kansas State, the same Kansas State team that you beat by 13 at home this time, and then, you know, you turn around, you blow out TCU by 20. Like, nothing they really have done makes sense, and they haven't been overly tested in the Big 12 yet either. They've somehow have not played Texas Tech, Baylor, or Kansas yet.
Yeah.
They've only played Iowa State in terms of ranked Big 12 teams, and they lost.
Yeah. Like I said, it'll be a very emotional trip back home to Austin for Rick Barnes. He talked about it this week with Grant Ramey and others at GoVols247. And he said, quote, "You guys may not believe this, but I haven't really thought about it." Talking about his return to Texas for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. 8:00 tip-off. We'll be at Walk-Ons if you want to come over there and watch the game with us. But this is a big game for Barnes. 17 years, he called Austin home. Coaching there for the Texas Longhorns, and he said he's been able to stay locked in with what he's doing here, so he hasn't really thought about it. But he made some jokes starting Thursday. I do know I have to talk to a couple old buddies of mine there, and as we just talked about here in this article, it says Texas will do its part to dedicate the game to Barnes. There is likely to be a pregame video paying homage to the former Longhorn coach. Former players, staffers, and administrators will also be in the stands for Rick Barnes' return. He said, "I can tell you what I told the fans back there. I have incredible respect for the University of Texas. I spent 17 years there. There's not a person on that campus that I don't have great respect for." So, yeah, big return for Rick Barnes. He even has some former players and coaches on the Longhorn bench under first-year coach Chris Beard. Chris Ogden, who played and coached under Barnes of Texas and followed in Tennessee for the 2015-16 season, his first year here, or second year, excuse me, is the managing director for the Longhorns. He comes back home after spending the last three seasons as head coach at UT Arlington. Also, Rodney Terry, former Fresno State and UTEP head coach who coached for Barnes from 2002 to 2011, is Beard's associate head coach. Barnes said, "They understand me probably more than anybody. They know that I'm not going to let anything get in the way of our preparation to win this game. Will it be different? I don't know." He said, "The past is the past. I'm 7 years removed. I'm a Tennessee volunteer. I really am. Texas is a big part of me and always will be, but I've been gone for 7 years." I feel that from Barnes, too. That's what I was talking about. Like, when I said I feel like he's been here a long time, like, I feel like he's truly, like, a guy that will, when he goes down to get retired, likely he gets retired as a Longhorn coach, but he's a guy that I feel like always going to have UT blood and UT blood. You know, he's going to play both sides. I think he has a love and admiration for his time here and obviously his 17 years there.
Do you mean UT and UTA blood?
Yeah, there you go. UTA blood. There you go. Well, so, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, this is the first time he's played them since coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how long he sticks around, it might become a more common occurrence just with Texas joining the SEC. But
I wonder if he'll be around for that.
That's what I mean. Like, it depends on how long it takes. And
you know, we kind of have that talk sometimes about, like, you know, Barnes going to be around. I still hold the fact that I don't know who we're going to get better than Barnes. Now, we might be in a situation 3 years from now and he's still, you know, kind of fizzling out in the postseason tournament. But right now, it's like he's one of the top coaches in the game, even though he struggled with postgame success. Like, I don't know that we can find a better coach yet, but we never know. Those things are fluid. Those things are definitely fluid. You're always kind of looking. So we talked about the Florida stuff too. Only a couple seconds right here. So all that happened last night, and that I'm looking at some of the video right here, and that handshake was the fact that they were talking about Zakai Ziegler, and that's why things kind of flared up. Talking about his height.
That's what I read on Twitter. There isn't a very good video of it because when our game ended, it cut immediately
to the Oklahoma or whatever game it was.
West Virginia, Oklahoma
game.
That's so we didn't get to see the handshake line on TV. But we did see the video of Appleby.
Yeah, like, he ran towards the bench.
Yeah, tried to charge the bench. One of his teammates picked him up. And then I saw another video from somebody in the student section. I guess as they were walking off the court, they were, like, doing the chomp at the Florida players as they were leaving. And then I guess Appleby tried to charge the student section, and then that same teammate had to pick him up again and basically carry him to the locker room.
Man, three technical fouls called through the course of that game. Two against Tennessee, so no shortage of bad blood there. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That is our number if you want to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines in hour number two. Hour number two, let's go ahead and shift our focus to the NFL. We'll talk a lot about the Shield and the upcoming playoffs. Hit you with some other headlines. Keep it locked here. Hour number one is in the books. Hour number two's on deck.